You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
All right. You've been on the podcast once before.
I have been here before.
You are a repeat guest.
That's great.
And what's your name?
My name's Felicity Ward.
That's who that is. And what's your name?
I'm Josh.
And what do you do, Josh?
I play drums for Rivals.
And what do you do for Rivals?
I manage Rivals.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
And we are at AMP. This is my longtime friend, Steph. No, you introduce yourself.
I'm Stephen Hawks. I've also been on the podcast before.
Way back in the day. With Kate Crummett.
Yeah, well, twice.
Oh, yeah, that's
this
right.
is my third time.
That's right.
So I'm big 3X, they call me.
We are back at NAMM 2023, and it is, I was saying this to Joey Sturgis, that it's funny to me that it's called NAMM. Like, not to be, like, offensive, but you know how Vietnam is called NAMM? Like, I went through NAMM.
Yeah, I'm not going to survive this.
I love how people always say I'm at NAMM. Like, I survived NAMM.
Some people don't.
There were a lot of people that didn't survive NAMM.
Well, there is Namthrax.
This takes survival skills.
Yes.
To get through these 3 days.
It is a different kind of survival. Very different, but it does take that.
My dogs are already barking at me.
Is this your first NAMM, Josh?
My first NAMM in a long time.
Okay. And you grew up in Orange County.
I did, yes.
How is it compared to back in the day?
There's not a lot of drum stuff here.
Really?
There's not that much. I'm so used to going into that little Hall D drumming hall and just being like bombarded with.
Really?
Like,
wait, it's not overwhelmingly loud?
Not like as going? Much.
So
it's last
year louder.
No, this
you
is
a full drum.
This
hall.
Is a real story. I went in there last year.
Tracks.
I just walked in, unassuming, unexpecting of anything, and I started laughing out loud to myself. Because it was so loud. Oh my god, look at that outfit.
Yes.
This is an audio-based show, so no one will know what I'm talking about.
But
Andy Savage.
It's not, but he's dressed just like him.
That's amazing.
I mean, those boots are killer.
Yeah, it is.
I love it.
Three-piece set. It's just hanging out.
That's what he does.
Tights are peak. Tights are peak.
I actually have on my Christmas list seeing some guy's junk and some floral spandex, so I'm taken care of in advance.
Are you still recording? Your thing's off. Oh, you are.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's Christmas come early for me, I guess is what I say.
Well, that's
if you believe in magic, James, and I hope that you do.
You believe in magic. How's Rivals going, Josh? What's up with the band? What's next?
Rivals is going great. We have a new single coming out May 5th. It's called Maneater.
Maneater?
Maneater.
Did you guys have to clear this with the one and only Hall & Oates?
You know what? Not song titles. There's like 85 songs called Creep.
That's not how it works, right?
No.
No.
You can just call it whatever you want.
You can call it whatever you want. You can't really...
But it can't be sonically the same song.
To differentiate it, Maneater is two words.
Well played.
Two words.
Eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we were kind of talking about this briefly yesterday, Josh. The direction... It's still the band sound, but as you described,
bigger.
You're going for an arena rock sound almost.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, we like to jump around in our sound in general. We love working with a variety of producers and songwriters, and that's just we feel like that's how we evolve as musicians.
Do you guys always collaborate with songwriters?
Yeah, 100%. When we first started out, and this is previous to me being in the band, but. We were working with John Espy and Aaron's last name, unfortunately, but both producers have done very, very well for themselves. And then when we started doing Sad, we got into working with like Morgoth, Michael Montoya. You know, we also started getting into working with one of the guys from The Slaves, now that they changed the name, I can't remember. But he did Thunderstorms with us, which was a fantastic
Rain
song.
Rain City Drive?
Rain City Drive, yeah, exactly. And then now we're working with this amazing producer named Dev on his newest stuff. We're working with Andrew Bayless.
Bayless is a friend of ours.
And obviously still Cody Stewart, who is fantastic
Cody's
at
awesome.
His production, his engineering, and mastering.
Cody's dating the singer and rival, same Cody?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. At one point, they hated each other.
No way.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That makes for a good relationship, I feel like.
But now they're not leaving.
Get that out of the way. You put it at the end, it usually means something worse.
Yeah, we start.
You put it at the beginning, it's more, that's better.
Yeah.
The end, it goes badly. Oh, that's just a little.
But Cody's amazing. We love him so much. We're such a tight-knit family. And I think we grow as a family together. And I think going back into the new single, Maneater, May 5th, coming out, we've pushed ourselves, all of us pushed ourselves in a different way. Specifically, Kaylee with bringing out kind of more of a gospel vibe, I would kind of say.
Which makes sense with her.
100%. She's a powerful totally. Vocalist, amazing front person. Has a lot of power behind her voice and just her energy live. And Seb, my bass player, he's doing a lot of vocals on stage. Right. And he did some on Sad, and now he's doing it
did
for other songs.
Did he sing on songs in the past?
Yes, he did some vocal
not a lot,
stuff.
Right?
Not a lot, just a little bit of stuff. I mean, Seb grew up doing... he was a screamer in Orange County bass band originally as well, too. So, weird thing about all of us, we've all kind of been in different bands at one point, previous to Rivals, and all of us were kind of like the main go-getters, and then somehow we found each other, and then we all have the same mindset, let's just go for it. You know?
But you're not like four arguing type A's?
I mean, we argue all the time. So.
Of course you do. Well, that's the nature of being in a band. Yeah.
It seems like the band name probably should have been something more like Collaborators.
I feel
allies. I feel a little deceived.
Hi, we're outside.
Hi, we're Rivals. Is like, it implies that you guys are like, it's us versus everyone. You're like, nah, it's us with everyone.
It is, yeah, right. Yeah.
So what's the plan after that comes out? You're touring with Set It Off?
Yes, yeah. So the single comes out May 5th, Maneater, but our tour that we're going to be going out with is with Set It Off, Scene Queen, Weathers, a couple of other great bands. And that starts May 5th.
Scene Queen's crazy.
Yes,
that's an SCG band.
Yes, and Hopeless, and we're great friends with Hopeless and everyone in that team, and we're so excited to see them live. We've actually been talking a lot with Scene Queen and their crew just because we're friends in a lot of ways, and we're just excited to be on the road together, to be honest. We're excited.
It is.
And so it starts May 1st, I think.
How long is that run?
A whole month.
Whole month of May.
Are you, awkward question, but I didn't even know. Are you guys still in a band?
Always.
Band and trailer?
We just got a new trailer, I think.
Yeah, okay, yeah. That's good.
We're getting a new van.
Hopefully we're getting a new van. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. It's crazy how much...
a lot of van troubles.
Yeah, the more... I don't know. I mean, the average cost of a tour bus these days, it used to be about $5,000 a month, and that has... Or, sorry, $5,000 a week to keep a tour bus on the road, and that has gone up astronomically.
So much more. And even...
I mean, you do the math, you need to be like... really playing some killer venues, packed fucking houses.
Yeah, exactly. And what a lot of people are not talking about, and I think this should be talked about a lot more when it comes to like touring artists, the cost of repairs on vans because it's so hard to get certain things right now.
Yeah.
And the wait time. Yeah. Absorbing amount of time. So it's making
the fact that bands are touring is much, I mean, it's a testament to the DIY nature of it all. Like, it's still happening in spite of those challenges.
100%. And every band from all different levels are feeling it. It's not like it's one
100%.
Level. It's literally...
Something happened to the cost of goods or something?
I don't know.
I was not made aware of.
I don't know.
There was a thing called a pandemic.
Well, I was in a deep slumber from February of 2020 until just last week. And so I'm finding all of this very, very interesting.
You guys know about the Jared Leto story, right? That he was in a silent retreat.
Oh, yeah. He didn't know.
For like the first 3 days of COVID.
He didn't know.
So he came out like all Zeddy and Jared Leto, and all of his people had to tell him this. Like, hey, there's a worldwide pandemic. Everything shut down. And he thought they were fucking with him.
As you would.
Yeah, as you would. Exactly.
That sounds like the most Los Angeles thing.
Oh,
coming from Los Angeles. That's the most Los Angeles thing I've ever heard.
I mean, they told Big Brother, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Like, I love to think that there's got to be one guy.
Oh, there's some people that don't know.
There's some people that don't know about COVID.
somewhere.
I wish I never knew Chris Cornell died. He could have just never told me. I would have thought he was just taking it easy.
So
I'd rather not know.
That's funny you said it.
I'd rather not know. If I can't do anything about it. I didn't see Chris Cornell doing anything from like 2006 to like, you know, 2011 when Soundgarden got back together or whatever. Could have just stayed like that. Yeah. Be like, oh, you know, he's just with his family and being cool.
The saddest thing.
I wish I didn't know. Same thing with Coke.
I was at a meeting with a manager that managed Soundgarden, and then Chris Cornell died, so he took over the Chris Cornell estate.
Oh, wow.
And he's still managed that to this day. And I just asked him, I was like, how was that? Is it just a bummer? He's like, it's just tragically sad every day.
A constant bummer.
Chris was like the best guy ever.
Wake up thinking about that every day.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rough go.
No, he's like, he managed the estate.
Yeah, I just pretend like it's not.
So, you know, there's all these arguments between the ex-wife and the last wife and like Soundgarden themselves. Hate said wife. It's a whole thing. It's just a nightmare.
And that's what he's doing.
And that's one of his clients.
That's his gig.
The estate. Felicity, this is your first time at NAMM.
Yes.
What are the first impressions? We were kind of talking about it earlier. Like, do you recommend everyone goes at least once?
I do, actually. I think one of the things I think I'm getting out of this, especially with developing bands, which is mainly who I manage now, or bands that are going to break in the next few years, like, it's so key to getting, like, endorsements, partnerships, getting them in with other brands. Like, we were walking around earlier, you know, and, like,
what this is for.
I'm a manager. I don't play instruments, you know what I mean? I can't make out about that stuff, but I definitely can appreciate their need for different things. And so there's all these different brands here, and, you know, I'm like, there's all these guitar companies. Why do none of the artists I necessarily work with mention some of these brands? Like, some of these brands, like, you know, ESP, for example. You know, but I'm walking around, I'm listening to other people talk. And this one guy, we were looking at these guitars, like, was it ESP?
It was ESP, yeah.
ESP, and this guy was like, yeah, I like them better than Gibson now.
Right.
You know? So
right.
It's like,
well, all because of the clutch.
All because of that. And so I'm picking
up... There's even smaller companies than ESP. Like, much, much smaller.
Who are just making incredible products now, you know what I mean? And so it's like, you don't see some of the bigger guys here this year, apparently, right?
Yeah.
So,
like, I don't think Fender has a booth this year.
They have, like, an audio booth, I think, only.
Well, I mean, two NAMMs ago, they had a room.
Right.
It wasn't a book
showcase.
Right. Like it was Yamaha.
Exactly.
And Yamaha's massive.
Steph, you saw the Martin guitar thing?
Yeah.
Times that by five.
Yeah.
That was a Fender. Like, multiple levels.
You know, they may have realized that people have heard about the Stratocaster and the Telecaster now.
Wait, what is that again?
Taking that little
this new guitar?
That fluffy upstart on the road may not be necessary.
Well, right. I think that building, like, you know, with, like, Haram, for example, Haram Sticks, Josh just, Rivals has just signed up.
I had my paws on them. They're great.
Today, yeah, it was great. Like, with them, you know, I'm like, they're...
Oh, endorsed
they're
like by them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Signed a deal today.
Yeah, that's
awesome. Congrats.
Exciting.
Nuts. But, like, that type of stuff can happen on the show floor where, like, as a manager, you're 100%. Emailing people blindly every day.
Face-to-face
with this
thing.
Face-to-face for 10 minutes. Hey, you know, follow that up with an email. You never know where that's going to go. And I also think, like, growing with these younger brands or these, they're not even young brands, just, like, smaller brands that maybe aren't, like, a Fender, but growing with, like, getting your artists in the door with these other brands and growing with them, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's just
easier. Way more exciting and way easier. Now, we were talking to Joey Sturgis about how... One of the things I love about NAMM, like, people love this shit on NAMM all the time. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you have to go. I don't know what that is. I try to refrain from that negative vibe. It's very fucking pretentious. And for me, I love this convention because it's one of the few times that you feel like you're a part of an actual industry. Other peers and like colleagues, you feel that way. And it's so rare that you feel that way in music.
Yeah.
Everyone's doing their own
thing.
It's
all these little groups that are kind of separated, and maybe they expand a little bit.
That's right.
But the actual idea that you're going to, like, have access to.
Exactly.
When does that happen?
Unfortunately, NAMM is just so big and scaled that it's tough to get, like, real quality time with people.
That's so true.
Which is why we try to lean on, like, the people we know.
Yeah.
That's our NAMM experience.
Yeah.
As much as I'm trying to get outside of that and network, the reality is you just kind of stay within your own friend group and expand from there. I will say, so we went to a thing called the Artist Relations Endorse Expo. Longest name.
What's the acronym for that?
hit. Atlantic Records hosts it at the Atlantic Studios in LA. And so it's at their recording studio with like maybe six tracking rooms. And there's probably 10 brands at the most. Under 100 people, so it's invite only.
That's awesome.
And so you go, you walk into a like a tracking room, recording studio, and it's one brand, and just like two guys from the brand. There's only like 10 people in the room, and so you get one-on-one time. They want to talk to you because they know that you were invited here by someone, and that was like really fucking cool, really lucrative. Yeah,
I did something like that from Apex Drums, where I was a part of their artist relations department. We did some quality control for some of their high-end stuff, and it had to do with the new Tom mounts.
Oh, cool.
I was sitting there in a very, very small room. We took over a place called Center Stage, which is in LA, a great rehearsal studio. We had all of their new products in there, like with Russ Robinson and a bunch of other like high-level Apex artists who are working with the company. And we just caught, like, QC'd all of this new stuff. And they wanted our input because we were
like generally want to hear it.
Like not only are you performing with the gear, you're teching the gear, you're selling the gear to other people. It's important to have those things.
Oh, I could agree more. And some of these brands, I don't know how they afford NAMM. David, my partner here, who's not on mic, but he's looking at us.
Hi.
Hello.
Glaring.
Almost leering.
Almost leering.
It's gone to leering status. I was going to say something before you brought it up.
He dug into how much it costs to get a booth here.
Yeah.
And it's way, way higher than I thought it was.
Now you know why, you know, some of these brands like Zildjian are DW Drums. They are killing in like the top level drum community, but they're not here.
They're not here.
It's just, it's an expensive thing to have.
It's prohibitive. Yeah, and there's no benefit for them, I don't think.
People have heard.
Yeah.
People have heard.
They've heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their benefit is having a TikTok.
Yes.
Let's be honest.
Like, oh, for sure. Yeah,
their
that's probably
is
a better
a great social platform.
Yes, exactly.
Because that's what's going to drive
things. Something that's cool that I've like also picked up by being here too. Like we're talking about like brands that are just really big, and that's kind of why they're not here. Obviously, they're well known here, but it's like he asked Josh, you know, what do you want to see here? And I was like, obviously partnerships, but like new tech, like what new tech is coming out? Like we live in a
wacky stuff out here.
Wild stuff.
You're only going to find only a new company generally is going to do something new and innovative. They have to,
right?
Because they
that's
can't just keep making the thing we've all used forever.
Right.
So statistically speaking, any advancement, not that big companies don't do advancements, but smaller companies are really incentivized to do something different.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
You see that in the pro audio
like
a lot.
Like
some of these companies, if you're doing like recall, DAW-based recall or something, it's like, well, you know, like big companies haven't done that. Small companies have.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, sometimes the big companies go, oh, we're going to hop on the train, and sometimes they just kind of leave the market. They just think, don't worry about it, and then until it's too late.
Well, this reminds me.
Small companies become big companies.
Stephen, you're out of the four of us sitting here, you're the one that's a proper recording producer.
I'm the gearman.
What do you want to do with NAMM? Like, what's the most beneficial thing for you?
If I don't leave here with a Babinga snare drum free of charge, this will be an abject failure. I should have told you this before. It can't be maple. It can't be birch.
It has to be Babinga.
I don't care what brand. I just need exotic wood snare drum.
For people that don't know, that's $1,000 snare drum.
And if it's 6.5 inches or deeper is fine.
That's his high expectation.
And
Tama makes great ones.
They do. No, I'm Tama. No, sorry.
As a producer, because you're the only one that has a case to use for the gear, other than Josh who plays drums. I manage producers, Felicity manages artists.
Yeah.
And we have a different sort of role here. As a user of the product.
I like talking to the companies. I mean, I get very nerdy about the stuff that I use. And I do feel like, in my experience, talking to companies or their customer service or their tech people, you know, you ask them questions that nobody's ever asked them.
Yeah.
Like, we had a Burl event at the studio, like, 12 years ago or something. And I remember explaining to the guy from Burl, I was like, you know, like, you should make a monitor controller. And I had a dangerous monitor controller. And he's like, why would anyone need that? And I was like, because not all studios have consoles. In fact, most of them don't. And he was like, really? And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so, like...
Right.
These companies don't act. I mean, again, they're the ones providing the products. They're the ones making all the stuff we all use. It's fantastic. But they're not the ones wishing that the button did something, or that if you just tweaked the thing, my life would be that much easier. I mean, I've literally had to call companies and just go like, this has a 6-second delay on it. That is too short. Can you make it longer? And some, they will do it once they realize, they're like, oh, like if you're frustrated and you're reaching out, that means that there's hundreds of people frustrated that aren't reaching out. And like, I've literally had companies just implement updates on products just based on me calling and going like, I don't like this. Can you just reprogram it? And so like, no one will ever know that like I'm the reason that their product works better than in the one that I got, and I have to send mine in order to get it updated. Yeah. So I like talking to companies about that stuff, because like they don't know. They don't make records. You can't. Very few companies can actually like make records, and then you know they know what people want in general. But do they really know all of the areas to exploit to like make the perfect piece of gear? That's what they're trying to do, generally. I mean, that should be the goal. They're trying to corner the whole market. Yeah. And there's certain things that some of these companies could do. If they just did X, Y, and Z all correctly, they would actually do that. But maybe they just don't know what the market needs.
There's a small level of disconnect.
There has to be. I mean, there has to be. And there's people, you know, it happens with everything. You can't know everything. It's like the fact that you are specialized in one thing means there's other things other people are specialized in. So I can't make equipment. I can't repair equipment. I don't understand components. I don't know any of this. But I know sound. I know workflow. I know the job.
Yeah. The actual case.
They make the things. I use the things. And it's not like there's no one there who makes records, and it's not like they're not putting it through R&D. It's like, I get that, but we're talking like everybody misses something. Sometimes they do it on purpose. It's price point. It's staggering tiers of products. And like some of that you got to understand, but sometimes you're like, this product is like, yeah, I've hit up companies on the internet at times that have just been like, started threads where I'm like, why doesn't this company just make this product? Like, they have all of the things to do it. They make everything right around it. And there's this whole market segment, and if they made it, I'd buy it. It's that simple. And then a lot of times, they end up doing it. And I can't always say for sure if it's because of me, but sometimes it has been. Or, you know, because of the amount of interest, they see a thread on, you know, on the internet about, like, well, people are clamoring for this thing. And it's like, to me, it's common sense. Like, monitor controllers, there's like three big ones. Why are there, now there's people that make, but the three big, you know, the Crane Song, the Grace, and the Dangerous, or whatever, it's like, if any of these companies can make that, and they aren't, and maybe they should. And the Burl guy ended up making one. I mean, he ended up making one within a couple of years of the time when he was there.
Well, and you realize some of these companies are smaller than you think.
Yeah, they don't have the resources to do it. They have to prioritize. So if the thing that you're saying isn't going to help them make any money, then obviously they're
that's
not
what I
do
like
it.
About
but sometimes
this
I'm like,
place.
This would.
You're meeting
the
guy.
You would clean up. You already have all the tech. All you have to do is arrange the parts in a different way. You've already made this product. It's just rip apart three of your products, put them together, and then just break it in and make my life easier.
That's
what it's all about. That's all the gear is for. Like, no matter what anybody tells you, if you're like, oh, bling, I was like, all it is to make you do your job better.
Yeah.
It's all anyone wants. They want to go home earlier. They want to get a better result quicker. They don't want to be sitting there wondering why they can't get it to sound right. They just want gear that makes everything go. And that's what the companies need to be making. If they do, people will buy it. They might not even know why they like it, but they will.
If you build it.
If you build it, it's really if you build it, they will come.
You were saying something, though.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, like, my one experience, like, I second that. Like, that's so important. Little Monarch, who's another, Casey Tomlinson, another client of mine, she partnered with Rolly, right? So when Rolly came out with, like, their C4 2, like, she was giving, like, ideas, and she was giving like sound packs and kind of like, you know, help, like, helping that whole product, you know, that product along. And so, like, it is so key, you know. They definitely made some changes and did some stuff, you know, specifically because she's like, it would be so much easier if you knew the X, right?
Well, I was thinking about it too, like, NAMM, it's so old school. Like, you can only do so much on Zoom, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
you gotta get in the room.
Like, you moving to LA stuff.
Because you gotta be in the room.
You gotta be in the room.
Like, well, it's the internet, so you don't gotta live there. You're like, it's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's not the same thing.
And it's so important. Going back to, like, what I was thinking about, like, developing artists. It's just really important for them to have brands that support them and for them to use in those endorsements. And it's like every artist that you get that comes in the door that you're working, that's developing, is like, we want endorsements. And it's like, well, those aren't like super easy to get all the time.
No.
It takes a lot of work.
To meet them in person, you're a lot more likely to get one.
I mean, I literally was like, you know, thank you all, again, James, for like getting us into... And Jay for getting who's not here.
It's really more Jay.
More Jay than anybody for getting us in.
It's always more Jay.
It's always
more. No one's more Jay than Jay.
But, you know, people were like, oh, damn, that's like an interesting thing that you're going to, you know, kind of like in a weird way. But I was like, my goal is to get these guys endorsed.
Yeah, it's working.
And to make contact, you know, with people, and actually be able to walk away and email someone, not cold. That's the goal.
Well, yeah, if a listener could take anything away from this little mini nanosode, I would argue to really try to do these things in person.
Yeah.
Get out of your like horse blinder, all I do is stay in it.
There's that many of these a year where you're going to worry about it clogging up your schedule.
Exactly.
There's this and like AES, which is even dorkier than NAM. And
small, yeah.
So there's like not that many. Sure. You can do it.
Yeah. You can do
once
it.
Once a year, I think you can figure it out.
I would also like to add to that is that, you know, people like to keep NAM.
Yeah.
If you're, and this is to every musician, artist, even someone who is a content creator, because there's a lot of content creating stuff here as well.
For yeah.
Podcasting.
Podcasting, totally. YouTubers, anything.
100%.
Anything in the audiovisual world, say that. If you can try to find a way to get out here, even if it's just once, do it.
Just do it once.
It shows you behind the veil of the industry that we all really do love.
Yes.
And how there's a lot of like inner work that like me as a performer and a musician from the front don't necessarily, I'm still learning from the back end coming up.
Like you guys were talking about a lighting company. To your point, you're the artist up front. We're all, I mean, it's a cheesy thing to say, but it is true. We're all here because of the artist.
Yes.
Like every one of us.
Yeah.
Or at the end of the day, is because people decided to be.
No, if no one made music,
yeah, that's right.
None of this.
No one would make a company for microphones. No one would manage. No one would produce. It's all for nothing. I agree. From like going from the top down as an artist, even like because you're a performer and a creator, but you're also a drummer, and you use the tech, and you need that tech.
And just a lover of music. Like it's just.
It's interesting, man. Yes, and it's pretty cool to see how many new companies every year make it to me. And they're doing their thing.
Some other brands, you know.
There's that Canadian one that we were talking to earlier, brand new. This is their first year at NAMM, and they literally use, they make little MIDI controllers, but one of their controllers is they use lights. So it's like a theremin.
Oh, okay.
You take out the rod and you use light instead.
Oh, wow. Weird.
To trigger either beats or other light controller situations.
Fun. That's right. There's a case use for that for someone. Well, thanks for joining this little episode. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. This was great.
We're going to go NAMM it up.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Ani DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask? Good
morning. I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon. Again.